Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We want to really thank the people at Anchor and encourage you if you are starting your own podcast or currently using another platform in your podcast to try Anchor. Anchor is a terrific platform. We're very, very pleased with their performance and their technology as well as their support. So give it a try. Anchor is a great, great technology and platform, and we're pleased that they are one of our great partners at Blood Time. Thanks for listening, and continue to support us as we will support you with great stories. Thank you.
Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. Coach Cimarroni here for Blood Time. I am extremely excited about having my next guest on. We're going a little different direction, a little different sport, but same type of Blood Time moments, and an incredible human being that's affected so many incredible athletes and people in the world. I have the newly retired head hockey coach for Penn State University, Joe Bautista. Joe, welcome to Blood Time.
Thanks, Peter. Excited to be a part of this. And I got to tell you, I've enjoyed listening to your guests. Kerry McCoy is a friend of mine. And, you know, I got to tell you that it's inspiring to hear the stories and to know and validate the same, you know, types of character traits and those family, you know, feelings that you get inherited from those other, you know, coaches and former athletes.
I couldn't agree with you more, Joe. And I was introduced to you by John Farrell, a terrific young man, or actually now middle-aged man. I met him when he was a young man. I think he played for you. I know he played for St. Ignatius. Terrific young man. And also, too, we have so many connections, Joe, from my nephews playing hockey for the Barons to Kerry McCoy to Ira Lupert, who's a dear partner and dear friend of Dean Adler, a friend of mine from the Wharton School of Business, but also Ira ended up being on I think he was the head of Regents for Penn State for many, many years. And I believe he was extremely instrumental in bringing in the Hall of Famer, Cale Sanderson, into your fine university. So it's terrific to have you on.
Well, I appreciate that, and you are absolutely correct about Ira Lewert. Ira was president of our board of trustees. Uh-huh. He's still on the board of trustees, and he and Galen Tribalbus are certainly two of the bigger names in Central Pennsylvania wrestling, and have done an amazing job revitalizing our wrestling program. And Cal, as you know, is just and his brother and his and the yep. rest of his coaching staff, they are just tremendous human beings, people first, and you know, teachers, leaders, and they instilled that in their athletes. And I can tell you, I'm involved with a senior leadership honor society at Penn State. I'm the president of our alumni chapter.
Awesome.
And lots of wrestlers are a part of that organization. So I've gotten the opportunity to get to know Phil Davis and, sure. and a lot of the other guys that are, you know, have come through the program. And those guys walk the talk.
No doubt. Legit. And they really have transformed the sport and how to really coach it. And tell me a little bit about, you know, I was a young man when I saw hockey transform our entire country with Herb Brooks and that magnificent crew at Lake Placid. Tell me what is your coaching philosophy? Because Cale has transformed our sport. He makes it fun. And you could just see these guys have fun, wrestling. And he's won the last, I think, 7 out of the last 8 national championships. He's a little down this year, but he's going to come back really strong. Tell me a little bit about what Herb Brooks meant to you and some of those transformative moments in the hockey world and how you brought that to Penn State and to your coaching philosophy.
Well, and you've struck the right chord, because it was the 1980 Olympic victory that basically changed my life.
Sure.
I was at Penn State as a sophomore. I was majoring in nuclear engineering. Don't ask me why.
Okay.
I was in the wrong major. I went about it all wrong. I was playing for the hockey team at the time.
Sure.
And that was really my focus. But it was it was February of 1980, and there I am sitting there watching this all happen and saying, you know, that's something I want to be a part of. That is something that got my juices flowing.
Sure.
And I literally changed majors.
I love it.
Part, because I was just in the wrong major to begin with. I did it to please mom and dad.
Been there, done that, right? Joe. I understand. So, I was an accounting major, and I'm like, what am I doing, man? And I ended up with a history major and master's. So I feel you, brother.
Right. Well, and I had never taken any assessments or anything like that. And
sure.
I talk about it, and I wrote a book called The Power of Pragmatic Passion.
Love it.
And in the book, I tell my story about how lucky I was in many respects, because I just didn't know any better. I was the first kid in my family to go to college. And
sure.
But I was so fortunate to have experienced that. Literally 3 years later, I'm standing on that same ice in Lake Placid as a counselor for USA Hockey's under U16 National Development Camp. I got to meet and got to know Herb Brooks. I got to know Buck Johnson, who was one of his big rivals from Wisconsin back in those days.
Yeah.
And I actually got both of them when I was working for the Pittsburgh Penguins as director of amateur hockey development. Got both of them to come into Pittsburgh to be part of a weekend of amateur hockey in Pittsburgh. This was all pre-Mario Lemieux days.
Sure.
And we were trying to build a base of fans and get people excited about the sport. And both Herb and Bob could not have been more accommodating. They went out of their ways to be a part of that, and have both left an indelible mark in my life. And, I tell the story all the time here.
Yeah.
Bob Johnson took over the Pittsburgh Penguins for the 1990-91 season.
Yes.
The very first practice.
Yeah.
Didn't have any pucks on the ice.
Oh, and my
God. made the guys do all these drills that they did when they were kids, made them slide on the ice,
sure,
Superman dive,
love it,
tumbling, and all. And the players were like, what's this
what's this maniac doing?
These guys nuts, you know.
And yeah.
The bottom line was, toward the end of the season, you know, they would, there wasn't anything that those guys would not do for Bob John Badger Bob.
Sure.
And what he did was, as you mentioned, he put the fun back in the game.
Yep. Cale Sanderson, right.
Yeah,
right on. Right on.
You got it. You got to get that passion burning inside of you, and you got to unleash it. And that makes all the difference.
Well, you know, that's what Herb did too, right? I mean, I don't know if so much back in the day he had the fun put in it, but he definitely brought incredibly fiery passion to that team. And it's just magnificent that moment in time in Pittsburgh, he comes in and then sparks the Penguins run, and you're a part of both. That is just incredible. I just love it.
Yeah, and you know, don't get me wrong, different styles, right?
Sure, of course.
Herb Brooks and Bob Johnson were two completely different.
Well, I think Herb was, coaches, you know, Herb was like more Vince Lombardi, right? Vincent Lombardi-ish kind of from that mentality, right?
But he still cared about his, especially more like when you look at the guys that played for him at the University of Minnesota, where they won 3 NCAA championships, you know, and Herb was, you know, way out ahead of his time in many respects.
Yep.
And it's, again, just both he and Bob were taken from us way too early. You know,
yes.
Herb, you know, passed away in a car accident, and Bob died from cancer at age 61.
I know.
And just tragic. But the mark that they left on not just hockey, but, you know, Olympic sports history.
The Al Michaels, do you believe in miracles? I mean, yes. I get chills just thinking about that, and that was 40 years ago or something.
Well, it's funny. Mike Arruzzioni, the captain of that
team. Mike, yeah, Arruzzioni, sure.
He just wrote a book. It's amazing that it took him that long to do it.
I know.
But his book is out right now, and it's great for anybody that's interested in kind of the history of what brought that team together.
Sure.
You know, that's, you know, and then there's some other really good books out there about, you know, what that Miracle on Ice team was all about, that in the lessons and how they transform, you know, translate into people's jobs, their family lives, et cetera. Because that, as you know, that's what you're all about.
Yeah, well, that is the ultimate, I mean, literally, universal blood time moment for our country. So,
right.
I mean, it affected our country on a blood time level. So, I mean, we all bonded on that. That was just, I still get chilled. Again, it's 40 years ago. I was a 23-year-old guy watching that. I'm like, this is, you know, and you know how incredible that victory was. It was literally a bunch of college kids against the best in the world. Those were professionals from the Soviet Union.
Who had just beaten the NHL All-Stars, I think,
6-1. Yeah.
And actually, that Soviet team beat the U.S. team, the same team that ended up winning the gold medal, 10-3 at Madison Square Garden 2 weeks before the Olympics started.
It's crazy. So, it's just crazy.
Just like, you know, we all know that at the end of the day, it's why you have the match. It's why you play the game.
Yes.
It's why you swim, you know, ski, whatever you're doing.
Right, right.
You do it. You know, if analytics was the only thing that mattered, we wouldn't have to play the game.
Why would we? Yeah, you just might as well just do Madden football.
And I'll tell you, and I think you would agree with this, that analytics is changing sport, and it's good.
Sure.
But the one thing that I still don't think it's captured for any sport is that passion, those intangibles, you know, how do you factor that in? I think people are trying to get a handle on that, but it's hard because don't know, right?
Joe, I hope it never captures it. I hope we always have that human spirit, that human bond, that human passion that goes above and beyond what you're capable of doing physically because of that mental state of excellence and love. Self-love is the ultimate confidence. And I think that's beautiful.
There is no better drama than a live sporting event when, you know, everybody's, you know, that team stands no chance.
Well, right.
You know what?
Yeah.
We all love an underdog.
No doubt.
There's a reason for that, right?
We
want to smile. We also appreciate sustained excellence.
Hey, Stallone knows that story. He made a few dollars on it.
Yep.
He made a few dollars on it, right?
It's not easy to do that. And, you know, I was blessed to have so many great kids like John Farrell. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'll take a second to just, you know, say he is a great husband. He is a great father.
Yes.
He owns his own business.
Yep.
He is and he's a great person. And those are the kinds of things that I think we all, as former coaches, when we look back and the number of the athletes that we coached who have gone on, you know, not just to be successful in their occupation, but they become good parents and you know, they're coaching or they're refereeing and volunteering and giving back to the community. And, you know, that we always talked about in when I coached the Penn State Icers, that, you know, family comes first, school comes second, and hockey was third.
Oh, bingo, baby. I'm right with you. And this is why I do this podcast, my friend. No doubt.
And I got to tell you, I'll tell you a story. Craig Patrick, who was actually the assistant coach of that 1980 team.
Yes.
I coached both his sons.
Okay.
CJ and Ryan, and his nephew, Curtis. And CJ's sister was getting married.
Yes.
On a weekend when we had games. Oh. And I told him, CJ, you're going to your sister's wedding.
I love it. I love
it. And he was like, what do you mean? No, I can't. I said, no.
Yep.
We'll the guys will rally. They'll pick you up. You're not missing your sister's wedding.
Yes.
Family. Yes. We can't just talk about family.
We got to live it. We got to live it. You know, and I Joe, we're twin sons of different mothers, and I love that because my second son was born. My producer, Maverick Peters, is the firstborn of Scott Peters, my dearest friend, one of my assistant coaches, and his younger brother, Ryan, who's the athletic director at Beechwood High School, where I was the head coach twice, and he's a dear friend of mine, and I love him like a brother and son. He was wrestling in the state finals the very day my second son was born. And guess what? I wasn't coaching at the state finals.
Right,
I was
right.
In that delivery room with my beautiful Christian Michael Cimarroni. So I feel you loud and clear because I was a walking testament to that absolute philosophy. And I want to explore that more. And I want to explore your philosophy of coaching and some of the great stories of those wonderful human beings that you've coached in the real world. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes or so with Joe Bautista on the other side of Blood Time. This is Coach Cimarroni. We'll be right back.
Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. In the midst of our current health crisis, we at Blood Time want to thank Guy and Gus Seiko and the team at Defense Soap as a beacon of our protection. Body wipes, skin cleansers, bars of soap, shower gels, and disinfectant tablets. All this and more as Defense Soap is on the front line of our protection. Thanks to the Seiko family and their team at Defense Soap. Check them out for all your protection needs during these precarious times. Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com.
And we're back with Joe Bautista, the recently retired head coach at Penn State University's phenomenal first segment. And Joe, I can't wait to talk to you about what was your Blood Time moment what coach transformed you into the person you are today? And then I want to talk about some stories that you helped transform other individuals into the remarkable people that they are. So who was one or two of those coaches that had a total effect on you?
Well, I will say this. It's almost unfair to pick out just a couple because I have been so blessed in my life to be surrounded by great coaches and, more importantly, great people. And, you know, I have to start with my father.
Sure.
He was a lifelong baseball and softball, competitive softball coach. And he's about to turn 89.
What's his name?
Joe Senior.
Joe Senior. We love Joe Senior.
And his nickname is the Belly Man. Because, you know, we always teased him. He had a little bit of a belly. But most importantly, it was like when a game was on the line,
right.
He would come over to the dugout. He would look us in the eye and say, it's belly time. We need some guts right now. We need to, who's going to make the big play? Who wants the ball hit to them?
I love that.
Who's going to get us a run? And just... Yeah. His passion and his love of sport, you know, certainly made a difference. But Blair Studebaker, I had as a coach. Coach Bob Ford, who is just an absolute gem of a human being, has impacted thousands and thousands of lives.
Love that.
When I had him. And then in college, I had Clayton John and Mark Horgus and John Shellington.
What college was that at?
I played at Penn State.
Awesome.
I played here back, you know, when we were.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I'm my bad. Yeah. Sure.
No, absolutely. No problem. Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was, again, I don't know if it was just fate or what. I don't think so. I think it was because of the philosophies of the people that I was lucky to have been on so many.
Sure.
Championship teams.
Yes.
Whether it was youth hockey, youth football, baseball, and then college, you name it. And you know, you just get that belief, right?
Yes. Peter, no doubt. It's intrinsic.
Not cockiness.
No. The exact opposite of that. Arrogance lives in fear. Confidence lives in self-love. And I couldn't agree with you more. It is the exact opposite when you are confident, because you truly have love for not only yourself, but respect and love for your opponent.
Yeah. And as far as coaching is concerned,
sure,
it was certainly the number one person that impacted me was Bob Johnson.
Gotcha.
Herb Brooks, close second, sure. But there were other guys, Ted Sater, that coached in the USA Hockey, world. And,
sure.
Just a lot of the USA Hockey coaches that I met along the way during various clinics. So again, there's just too many to, but what I would say was in common with all of them was that they always put the caring of the individual first. And the coaches that I was around, the thing that stood out to me about the ones that were not memorable were that it was all about them.
Right.
And that's all they cared about was their record, how many championships they won.
Right.
And you saw the way they mistreated kids.
Sure.
And that was sad. I'll tell you what, I only spent 1 year at Culver Military Academy in Indiana. But I was assistant coach with a gentleman named Al Clark, who mm-hmm. built in the middle of nowhere in
yes.
Indiana.
Yep.
This powerhouse.
Yes. Yes.
Prep school hockey program.
Yep.
And the number of kids that he sent on to the NHL, to Division I scholarship programs and Division III programs, and more importantly, that got great educations. He's the most humble guy you'll ever want to meet. And I only spent 1 year there.
Okay.
But that had such an impact on me that kept resonating with me the rest of my life.
I love that. And I have two questions for you, Joe.
Sure.
Is there any one thing that was said to you that truly transformed you by any coach?
It would be my dad.
Okay.
Someone has to care.
Gotcha.
And it was, I'll give you an example of a player I had. I won't say his name, but
yeah.
The young man had a drinking problem.
Sure.
This was when I was at Penn State.
Yep.
Got himself into some trouble.
Okay.
And everybody wanted me to kick him off the team.
Right.
Everybody said, look, he's just going to be a problem. Get him out of here. And that would have been the conventional wisdom. That would have been the thing to do.
Yes.
And I said, his teammates came to his defense. Sure. They knew that if we got rid of him, it would be the worst thing that could happen to him as a person.
Right.
So I was able to prevail upon the rest of the coaching staff and our advisor that we needed him. We suspended him for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Made him come to workouts. We got him some help. We got him into AA.
Yep.
Had to go see counseling, that sort of thing. And he ended up, we won a national championship that year.
Wow.
And when we were hugging after the national championship, I said, hey, it doesn't get any better than this. And he's like, Coach, he said, this is the icing on the cake. You guys saved my life.
Ugh. That is fantastic.
And he is now the father of four kids. He's got a great marriage. He's got a great career. And I just keep thinking about, had I not done that,
yep.
Someone has to care.
You were a beautiful rudder, Joe. You kept him on light, kept him on track to that point of light. That's what we do.
And those are the stories that, and Coach Joe Paterno, who has been, vilified and a lot of it's been very unfair.
I hear you.
And certainly, no person should be, judged by what's perceived as their worst, you know, day. He helped so many people, but Joe, you know, when they asked him, well, you know, what's the measure of your success as a coach? And he said, come back and ask me that in 30 years. And I'll let you know when I see how many doctors and lawyers and politicians and business owners, successful people have come from my program. It wasn't about wins. It wasn't about national championships and that sort of thing. It was about, you know, helping people to become better people.
That is definitely our currency. There's no question about that. And it leads me to my next my next question, Joe. What attracted you ultimately to the sport of hockey, and what has it meant to you?
My father made the mistake in 1968, I believe it was, when I was 8 years old, of taking me to a Pittsburgh Penguins hockey game when they gave out free hockey sticks. And he says to this day it was the most expensive free thing he ever got.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely fell in love with the sport. I loved, you know, I played football.
Sure.
And baseball, competitive baseball. I ran cross country. Okay. I was a, you know, sports nut.
Yeah.
I tried everything. But there was never anything that matched the passion that I had. I loved, and honestly, the best memories I have of skating were when a bunch of us would get together and go out and skate outside on a pond.
Yes.
Where we would rent the ice at a rink by 45 minutes away from my hometown, Penn Hills, and outside of Pittsburgh, in Greensburg. And we would rent the ice from 3:30 in the morning till 5:30 in the morning on Saturday mornings. There were no referees, no coaches. It was me and all of my buddies. And we came from all over Western Pennsylvania.
Threw
our sticks out in the middle of the ice, pick up teams and play to five. And then we'd pick up, change the teams around and play again. That was pure hockey, and to me there was nothing like getting a head of speed up and heading down ice and blocking a shot, scoring a goal. Those were
pure joy, right? Pure joy.
And that's exactly the word is joy. It brought joy, and the only thing I've ever come close athletically for me is now my passion for golf.
I love it. All right. Right on. I feel you, man. I've been playing that sport since I was about 5 years old, so I absolutely adore it as well. And it's a terrific sport because it's you against the course, and it reminds me a little bit of wrestling in that respect. So
the mental side of it. You know, we know it's a 7,000-yard game that comes down to 6 inches between your ears.
No doubt. Brilliantly said. Brilliantly said. And it's always hole at a time, baby, shot at a time. So I feel you on that one. Well, Joe, I love the way you have really articulated your love for the young men under your tutelage and the love for the sport and the community of Penn State and ultimately hockey at large. I would like to leave the audience with a couple of things. One, if you have a story or two of some individuals that have really transformed themselves because of you and your coaching staff and the sport into the real world, and then leave us with a word or two of courage and encouragement. I'm going to turn it on you.
I'll tell two stories. One is about a man named Jeff Martha, who is currently the CEO of Medtronic, which is the largest medical device company in the world.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
Jeff, I met Jeff when he was probably 10 years old.
Okay.
His father and I and another gentleman, Ernie Helms, were the founders of the Amateur Penguins Hockey Organization, which to this day still exists. It's kind of gone through a couple iterations. It's known as the Pens Elite Program now.
Sure.
But Jeff was a really good player, a really elite player. But he made the most out of everything he had because of his cerebral approach to the game.
He left it on the ice. I love that. Yes, he left it on the ice.
He always played his biggest games in the biggest games.
Awesome.
And, you know, Jeff went through some, family stuff where his parents got divorced. The family company went bankrupt, et cetera. And he was going through that right when I was going through a pretty rough time in my personal life, and we formed this bond. Plus, Jeff was at Culver Military Academy when I was there as well.
Okay.
So Jeff actually started off at Colby College and ended up transferring to Penn State. And immediately, the second semester of his freshman year when he came in, helped us win our league championship for the first time. The next year, we won a national championship. He became captain of the team, president of our hockey management association, et cetera. This was a young man who just, you know, would not take, you know, no. He just, you know, he worked, outthought people, et cetera. And Jeff and I remain like brothers to this day.
That's fantastic.
Amazing how we constantly, and I tell people when I have my list of mentors, he is on my list of mentors because he's 10 years younger than you.
The student became the teacher. I love that.
I can pick up the phone and call Jeff, talk about anything.
I love
that. And we help each other out with family issues and that sort of. The second one has really, it's less about the sport part and about life. And it's BJ Nardi, Cleveland native.
Sure.
At the end of his sophomore year, you know, BJ, you know, his goal, he was kind of in and out of the lineup. BJ wanted to play more, et cetera. But he also, I said to him in our meeting when we met, BJ, what do you want?
Yes.
He said, oh, I want to help us win a national championship, blah, blah, blah. He said, no, what do you really want? He said, I coach, I want to be a surgeon.
Yeah.
I said, all right. You know what? Hockey right now, you're not going to want to hear this. Hockey's getting in the way of you achieving your life dream.
Wow.
You're not going to play in NHL, buddy. And we sat down, he and I and his dad, a lot of tears.
Sure.
We all came up with a very mature and pragmatic decision that it was best for him to focus on getting his grades up, getting ready for the MCATs.
Yes.
And getting out there. And I'm so proud that he is now Dr. Vincent J. Nardi. He is a cardiovascular surgeon in Dayton, Ohio. And I try to explain to people that to me, that's as good as any championship you will ever win.
That is the ultimate coaching. That is the ultimate love of a coach. The selfless nature of that. I love that.
We're still friends.
Sure.
We're still friends. He's married. He's got two wonderful children.
That's awesome.
You know, and you know what? He still plays hockey.
And he saved lives.
He plays it for fun, right?
And he saved lives. He saves lives. It's just the ripple effect is amazing, Joe. Ripple is amazing.
And if do we have time for one other quick one?
Sure.
Okay. So Curtis Patrick, who again, nephew of Craig Patrick, who coached the assistant coach of the 80 Olympic team, was the general manager of Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
Curtis played for me. And Curtis was a terrific player, but he was also a little bit of a, you know, wild card.
You like to have fun.
You know, a few times, but he was a terrific young man, as creative, funny, you know, human, you know, just the teammates loved him, et cetera. He turned 40 about a year ago, and he put out on Facebook just a nice letter about the people who had made a difference in his life. And I had no idea this was coming, but he talked about how I was one of them, and he talked about the impact, you know, and how many of his teammates had gone on to be successful, and that maybe that was coincidence or serendipitous. He said, I don't think so.
Right.
I think it's because of what Penn State hockey, our mission, our values, what our culture was, you know, about, you know, always, you know, you have a higher calling than hockey. Always be good to other people, you know, be other-centered, and always remember to give back. And he told that story, and it just brought me to tears.
Ugh.
And it reminds you,
again,
hey, all the championship trophies and all the championship rings we have and all that, they're awesome, great memories, et cetera. It's the impact on each other as people and trying to make this a better world. That's got to be our number one purpose, and that's why I love listening to your show.
Oh, hearing
thank
all
you. The stories, because we're all kindred spirits.
Yes,
and we know that there's much more to this than just the games, but the games and the matches do matter.
No doubt, no doubt. And it's the do good always, the ripple effect, the pay it forward. I just love that. And we just released the Yoshi Nakamura story. Interview and his words of encouragement were
pay it forward. And I'm going to ask you, Joe, to leave our, during this very turbulent and challenging times of the virus, to leave the audience with some words of courage and encouragement. And I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yeah, in my book, I talk about...
What's the name of your book again?
It's called The Power of Pragmatic Passion, Seven Common Sense Principles for Achieving Personal and Professional Success.
And we can get that where? On Amazon and every place
else? You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to my website, pragmaticpassion.com.
Love it.
And order the book. If you do that, all you got to do is tell me who to sign it to. I'll personalize it and ship it back to you.
Fantastic.
So that, and basically, in that book, I talk about three things.
Okay.
Dream big.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Right.
And then get it done.
Love that.
And it's that execution part that's usually where we get a little tripped up in life. But you have to dream big. But you got to keep it real. You got to understand what your strengths and your limitations are and what your growth plan is.
Sure.
And then you got to go get it done. And you, part of getting it done, we have the seven principles I have. Spell out the word passion. It's purpose, attitude, sacrifice, servant leadership, inspiration, options, and nurturing.
Love it.
And you do those things, and you're very probable that you're going to live a joyful, meaningful, successful life and sports career, you know, family. I mean, to me, it still all comes back to, you know, what my father said, and that's that someone has to care.
I love that. I love that. Joe, we do the passion that you just articulated, and we're going to get to the other side of this doggone thing, and we're going to come back stronger than ever together as a country and as a people on this planet. I really love this message, Joe.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I believe that as well. I believe in the spirit of our citizens, and that there are more people out there that in their hearts really, really care enough about other people that they're going to do the right thing.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. From the world of hockey, the nation of the Nittany Lions, and the wonderful messages of all these incredible human beings that have helped you become the man you are and the coach you are, and then in turn, those wonderful stories you shared with us with those remarkable individuals. Joe Bautista, thank you so much for your time and your inspiration today.
Thank you, Coach. It was an honor to be on your show.
Well, Joe, be strong. Continue to send that passionate story out there and give back. And again, thank you so much for your time, and we'll be in touch.
You bet. Thank you, Peter.
Thanks. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. Love to all. This is what it's all about. This is Coach Cimarroni. I trust you are well and about to emerge after this most challenging of years. In all that we have collectively been through, we can still find that silver lining. That said, it is my pleasure and honor to announce a rekindling and reconnection to my longtime and good friends at the Montrose Auto Group. Mike Thompson, Chris Mills, and the incredible staff at Montrose Westside have afforded me and Razor, my company, an opportunity to present the outstanding lineup of high-quality vehicles in their stable. Jaguars, Range Rovers, Volvos, and a bevy of high-quality pre-owned vehicles are at our and your disposal. I look forward to being of service to you and your family, friends, company, and associates at your request and direction. Let's get together soon to discover how we may be a solution to your driving requirements and desires. Thanks so much, and talk soon. This is Coach Cimarroni for the Montrose Auto Group's West Side Store. We here at Blood Time, and of course me, Coach Cimarroni, are excited and overjoyed to be partnering with Evergreen and its leadership provided by CEO Michael D'Aloia. I have known Michael for 20 years, and his intellect, passion, vision, and professionalism are best of breed and an immensely attractive and deciding reason we are now a proud part of the Evergreen family. In such a tandem, I really think only great things are to come. Here's a thought of the day. Coach great citizens. Great athletes come easy afterwards.
Hi, this is David Dennis Mackey. You've just heard another episode of the Blood Time Podcast. Check out more at maverickpodcasting.com.
Sports stars. They're like superheroes.
But they're actually real.
Which is why we've made a podcast about them. You see,
they've all got a story.
But too many of these stories were cut short.
Kobe Bryant.
Payne Stewart.
Flo Jo.
Phil Hughes.
Justin Fashanu.
We're writing episodes about all of them.
And sadly, many more.
Death of a Sports Star. A new series from Crowd Network.